Number five, or four? Five. Four. When there's domestic tension at home, chances are, and keep looking at me, brothers, that if you've had an argument this week, there's a 90% chance, if you're married, that that argument was centered around money. Now, you know, I don't know your business. This is what they say to me. One financial expert from the Larry Burkett Foundation reported that he says, of active church families, 40% overspend each month. Now, that 40% didn't make it out to service this morning. 90% of troubled Christian marriages point to financial problems as the root cause. Of Christ followers, Christians, pay over $2,000 per year in just interest alone. I want you to give yourself a grade to determine where you are. And finally this morning, we want to look at some steps to freedom from bondage. Pastor, you've convinced us that we have some challenges, or I have some challenges. You've convinced us that we live in an environment that encourages uncontrollable spending. How can I live above the fray? How can I get out of prison? Debtor's prison. How can I get my life back? And you know, we're talking about this subject just right before summer when, you know, many of you have already planned a vacation on credit. And I know it's a little difficult sometimes to get your money back from the airlines, but anyway. Here are some steps then to get us back on track. Firstly, we have to begin by evaluating our current financial position. And sometimes we just live, spend. Run up debt, and we don't even want to see any numbers. Proverbs 27 verse 23, interesting verse. And he was talking to persons that were in an agricultural farming kind of environment. He says, be sure to know the condition of your flock, speaking to the shepherd. Give careful attention to your herds. For your riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secured for all generations. Know what's going on with your money. Evaluate your current circumstances. And there are four things you need to know about your affairs. I give them to you rather quickly this morning. What you own. Now, what you think you own, you may not own, because listen, if you miss one payment, then somebody comes to get it. I had a friend, you know, he went to bed one night, parked the car right near the living room door, locked the car, did everything a responsible car owner should do. When he got up the following morning, you know, got dressed for work and looked in the mirror and put out his briefcase and everything else, grab the keys off the table and say, honey, I'm leaving, okay? He got outside, and there was no vehicle. And so he rang the police. And the officer had the scoop on things, and he says, no, it wasn't a criminal. It was the rail owner. What is it you own? What's your assets? What do you owe? Have you ever taken the time to make a list of all of the debts you have? What do you earn? And question number four is, where it goes. But you must do an evaluation of where you are today. And again, sometimes as church folks, we don't like this sort of thing because you would rather go to some revival and someone started breathing down in the mic and simply say to you, supernatural debt cancellation. I know you don't go to those types. But if it was that simple, the Lord would have laid it out for us like that. He didn't do that. You notice I said steps to financial freedom. You must evaluate where you are. Secondly, you must establish a plan. You must establish a plan. Proverbs 21 verse 5, he says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Question, do you have a family budget? What does it cost you to live at your household every month? Do you know? You must establish a plan. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. Pastor, I don't know how to do this. Well, we have some forms that we keep right around here. Or come out tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Somebody will assist you. But we need order in this area of our lives. God is counting on us to manage what he has entrusted to us properly. And when we don't do it, we are living in disobedience. Identify your priorities when you're putting that plan together. What is most important? What is important? Being able to identify your priorities means that you have a clear idea of what your needs are as opposed to your wants. I need shoes. I want Air Jordans. I need clothes. I need clothes, but I want designer lucky jeans. I need a car. But I want a Jaguar 2016. I need a house. shelter from the weather. But I would like to have something overlooking the ocean. Establish some priorities. Distinguish between your wants and your needs. You got to put God's voice according to what we see in Scripture. And sometimes, even as Christians, we ignore this. Sometimes, nationally, we ignore this when he says to us, you got to manage your debt. And he's speaking to nations and individuals. We must put him first. And then see this as serious enough to make it a matter of prayer. This woman who was so desperate after her husband died and left her with all the bills and the responsibility to care for the children, when she recognized that her bottom fell out, she went to the man of God. And I'm simply saying to you, once you would have done your part, you've planned, you've prioritized, throw yourself on the mercies of the Lord. Evaluate your financial position, establish a plan. And finally this morning, you got to execute the plan. You have to execute the plan. Many of us have had some plans in place sitting on the shelf for a long time. Many of us, what I'm saying to you is not new. You've heard this before, both in church settings and in the secular world as well. But you haven't been moved to the place where you're prepared to act. And one of the dangers of not doing anything about it is you, if you're a parent, you're exposing your children to an uncertain future. When this preacher died, because he didn't have a plan in place, he left his two sons vulnerable to slavery. And if we don't manage resources properly, that's exactly what we would be doing to the next generation. In executing the plan, you need to be so specific that you're prepared to set dates. And I'm challenging you to simply set a date that after church today, I'm going to take this seriously and begin to do something about it. By the end of the week, I'm going to have a budget in place. By the end of the month, or by the end of summer, I want to begin to reduce my credit card debt. By the end of the year, I want to have an emergency fund with at least $500 to $1,000 in the bank. Execute the plan. And after you have done all that God has called you and asked you to do, then we can invoke his involvement. And you can almost anticipate the liberation that you would experience when you're out of bondage. And all of us would be able to sing collectively, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Like I told you before, you know, I have this desire that once I declare my freedom from financial bondage, I'm going to go into my banker's office and ask to see the big man for just a few moments. And with that last payment in my pocket, and I'm going to say to him, guess why I'm here? As a matter of fact, you know, a friend of mine, he went to pay off some balances that he had, and the bank pleaded with him,
Oh, no, no, no. No, you don't need to do that right now. But
discouraging him from paying off the debt that he had. And he said to them, you're looking out for you, but I got to look out for me. Take the money whether you want it or not, but I'm not leaving here with this chain around my neck anymore. I want to be free. And he said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. So let's aspire and desire to be free. So when the end of month comes, you do justice to Jesus and you do justice to yourself and you live and you splurge. But you can't do that right now because your master coming to torment you. That should be the desire, the vision, the dream. And some of us can feel it and sense it and can anticipate how peaceful that would be at the end of the day. And there's no pressure, no calling. You could do justice to yourself and to others. Scripture says a good man, he leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That should be our desire. So if today I must live so that two generations from now, my line would still be able to experience some things because of the decisions that I made. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. The team is going to come and give us a closing number. But like I said, this is very serious business. And I try to be as transparent as I possibly could. And this morning, you know, my passion and my desire is to lead by example. Is to model what I want to see multiplied in the lives of all of you. And so one of the things I'm going to challenge you to do today is to have enough courage to do like the woman did in the passage that was read. Acknowledge firstly that there was a crisis, that there's a crisis. She's in bondage. She wanted to be free. And so she came for instructions. And when the prophet gave the instructions, she adhered to them. This morning, I want to really be a pastor that lives free from debt, without any gimmicks, but simply committed to adhering to the truth and principles from the scriptures. And if that's where you are today, you're not clear yet. There's still some chains on your arms and legs and around your neck. But you want to be free this morning. You want to experience freedom and liberation. I want to encourage you to come and let's follow the example of the dear lady in the text. Ask God to help us, to give us the discipline that we need to follow the principles that He has laid out. And like I said this morning, I'm the first one to simply say, well, that's the track I want to be on. And I'm prepared to provide the encouragement, the leadership that is required for us to be free. And you know, if enough of us are liberated, that spirit of freedom is going to be contagious. Because if we free Freeport Bible Church, and we free Freeport as a city, and Grand Bahama as an island, that spirit is going to be caught in New Providence, and Exuma, and Andrus, and Abaco, and before you know it, we are going to be a debt-free nation, but it starts with you and me. straightening our affairs. And so today, if you want to be an agent of emancipation, I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me. We're going to offer some prayers, and then we're going to conclude our time together. And I asked my wife to join because we as a family, we want to take this stuff seriously. We want to be free from entanglement, from bondage. We want to do what God has called us to do. We don't want to leave news or traps around our children. Spirit of indebtedness as a legacy. And if that's where you are today, I'm going to ask you to come as the team sings. And then we're going to offer prayers and we're going to be dismissed. Would you do it this morning? Anyone else? We'll wait for you.
Say yes. I'll say yes. Come on to his will and to his way. To offer that unto the Lord. Lord, we can be an example for others in one nation.
examples of what God can do to surrender. So, Father, I pray that you cover us today. Reach out your hands, Lord, and guide our hearts and our minds. Help us to see these resources, Lord, as gifts from you, and you're going to hold us accountable to manage it properly. Give us the will, Lord, to say no to the Lord. You accept big.